J Fabe.
Oh, old school.
Don't know what you're talking about, fan. This track today. How you doing, mate?
All right, mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Welcome to J Fabe. Speaking about all sorts today. I'm drinking tea, Jay. I'm drinking tea. That's the kind of day it's been. I am having my second cup of tea of the day.
That's good.
Which is very British of me. What are you drinking?
Pepsi Max Raspberry.
Pepsi Max Raspberry? What is it with you and Pepsi Max Raspberry?
I don't know. I just think it's the best one. I mean,
I really like the cherry one.
Cherry's awful.
I love the cherry.
It's like
one.
Regular or raspberry is the one for me.
Huh. Oh.
Can't explain it. It's just a.
I'm really like Pepsi, into the cherry one. And you keep on leaving cans of it around my house. And I had my mother round a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And yeah, I served her a can of it and she hated it. But she really enjoyed the cherry one. So there you go, mate. It's, I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it's me thinking you're going to go, oh, she loved it, Jay. Oh, she thought it was the best thing she ever had.
Oh, she loved the cherry one. She loved the cherry one. So if you feel like, you know, swapping over to cherry and leaving some of those around my flat, around my house, then
not a fan. Not a fan, mate. Not going to do that.
Fair enough.
Got a house, though.
Today we are going to be talking about lots of shit, aren't we?
Yeah, there's stuff
I'm doing my announcer voice, aren't I?
Stuff going on.
Wrestling
stuff. Backlash.
Yep, Backlash.
AEW stuff, you know.
There's some AEW stuff that Jay's keeping very secret. He's not even going to tell me what the topic of conversation is going to be on that. There's a tournament happening in WWE. A geriatric tournament for the title. And
Raw was pretty good for the hour I watched it. So
I did hear that. There's been a lot of kind of fuss about Raw recently, and people are quite into it at the moment, aren't they? Like WWE is getting a lot of social media buzz, is what finding out.
Well, that's the Bad Bunny thing. There was like 40 million views for like Bad Bunny, Damian Priest, but yeah.
Well, I kind of can't stop this track because it's such a great track.
Yeah, but what is the track? Never heard it before, mate.
It's Childish Gambino's Eliez.
Oh, what it is. Yeah. Who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it?
Just showing light on that one for channel. you. Oh, dear me. Just going to turn that one down now. Just going to fade out. Is it... There we go. Just faded that out. So, I mean, the big news to kind of lead with, or at least the thing that is absolutely shocking the pants off people, is obviously AEW All In, broke the 65,000 ticket sold barrier within the first week, meaning that it's sold faster than both SummerSlam 92 and WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, and obviously Money in the Bank that's happening in London as well.
Yeah, which is currently, you can still get tickets for Money in the Bank in their measly 20,000 seater arena. and of course, the big kind of speculation coming from Jim Cornette, which seems to be making the rounds in WWE fanboy circles at least, is that people are hate buying. AEW tickets because Vince McMahon's back at the helm in WWE and it's a way of protesting. Was Jim Cornette's assertion this week on his podcast.
Guy's a moron. Just going to hate buy this ticket.
Yeah, I'm just going to pay £1,250 to screw Vince McMahon. I mean, yeah, that is genuinely what he's attributing it to. Jim Cornette. What do we think of Jim Cornette?
I just think he needs to wind his neck in, mate.
I think he does as well. Yeah. I mean, he's a great wrestling historian. His knowledge of wrestling.
He's a historian. Yeah, he smashes it with his knowledge. But like anything that's going on nowadays, he's completely out of touch. He has no idea. No idea what it's on about.
Mm. Yeah, it's like the modern product is just completely alien to him. But, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, Hackenschmidt versus Gosch or anything like that. And he's like the authority. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really strange dichotomy. He's like, if it's... It's like if... It's like crossing David Attenborough with Donald Trump. It just makes no sense.
I mean, weird analogy, but I get what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the best I can do. For those of you in the US who don't know David Attenborough is, which apparently makes up 82% of our audience, then I'd say Neil deGrasse Tyson. There you go. That'll do.
See, now I'm
probably
lost.
Yeah, that happens quite a lot. sorry, I've had tea. I'm spicy.
Put the tea down.
Yeah, I've put it down now. I've put it down. It was Ceylon tea, by the way. Possibly the most delicious of the teas.
It's a light tasting tea. It's quite nice tea. I'm a Darjeeling kind of guy. It's another light one. That's quite nice.
I had a pot of Earl Grey actually a couple of months ago, and in a 200 degrees coffee. Nice. Earl Grey's all right. Yeah. Yeah, quite like that. It's a bit fruity. Herby, isn't it?
Well, it's a bit floral. But add some vanilla to that and you're on for a winner.
Well, absolutely. And it's always good to drink the same tea as Captain Picard, obviously.
Yeah, it like heals you.
Yeah.
And you don't become a Borg and you don't become half robot.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot. That was my Patrick Stewart impression. Did you like it?
It's definitely how it goes.
Yeah. So 65,000 people have already bought tickets to this thing. I mean, you've got your tickets. You've got your ticket. I've got mine.
Yeah.
You know, it's any thoughts on what the main event could be? Any thoughts on what the card could be? I mean, I know that there's rumours floating around of them pulling the mothballs off Goldberg so that you can have a streak versus streak against Jade Cargill. Obviously, there was a rumour last week that it could be Sting's retirement match, which now it's looking like it's going to be Sting and Goldberg touring around Israel on a retirement tour, which seems like a really strange place for them to have a retirement tour. But that's
loads
the rumour at the moment.
Loads and loads of money. There you go. That's why.
That's true. That's where the money is, to be honest, in the Middle East nowadays.
I mean, matches. Okay, so I'll throw one out there. It should happen. Daniel Bryan or Daniel Bryanson or Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson, yeah.
Thank you. Versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, that would be good. I mean, it's a bit Forbidden Dory.
I get that.
I don't know.
But why not save it for in the UK?
It would be fantastic. It would be absolutely fantastic, but I as much as I would absolutely love that, and that is kind of we're dream booking here. Like my thoughts are more that they'll probably have him against a talent from AEW, most likely in a dream match of their own. But I just can't figure out who.
Okay.
At this stage.
Well, I reckon they'll definitely book Will Ospreay.
I reckon Will Ospreay is almost a dead cert, to be honest. He's worked with.
I reckon they'll book Aussie Open as well, to be honest with you.
I reckon they probably would as well, but I mean, then Will Ospreay and Aussie Open are definitely people who have they've appeared on AEW programming without the Forbidden Door label, you know, and they've made their presence known, you know, on just regular AEW television at times as well.
Zack Sabre Jr. Is granted, making his presence on ROH, so it's still kind of like same thing, really, isn't it?
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that before I responded, so that actually does open up the possibility of
just remember that there's a Samoa Joe Zack Sabre thing going off at the moment.
There is actually a rumor that obviously. That Nigel McGuinness will be facing Bryan Danielson at all in. It's only a rumor at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. No. I think I read that. He said he would dust off his boots if they saw this amount of tickets or sold out. So it would have to be a sellout.
And he has. Today the big story in regards to Nigel McGuinness is that he has taken the Desmond Wolfe name out of retirement, and has copyrighted it or trademarked it or whatever. There's some interesting things there with that.
Yeah. I mean, Desmond Wolfe was a name that he used in TNA for the time that he was there. Mm. But why not just use his own name in AEW?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I think he could get away with either, to be honest. But, I mean, he did use Desmond Wolfe in RH for a while, I believe, as well, did he not?
I don't think so. No.
Fair enough. I might be wrong. But yeah, it's interesting. There's lots to be excited about in regards to this. I mean, it's going to be a great weekend. I think I'm going to be there. You're going to be there.
We're on opposite sides of the arena, but we're both going to be there.
Oh, nice. Are you near the aisle?
No, but you are, aren't you?
No, I'm opposite the aisle. I'm facing
right.
I'm in section 124.
I'm in 122. No, 112. Sorry. So that's on. I'm on one, east one, side. Two.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay.
So that is on the side of the ring. So yeah, side to the entrance ramp, but also side to the ring. It's more dead onto the ring than it is the ramp. Level one. 122. I sent you a seat finder on.
You say 1-2-2.
1-1-2. Sorry.
East 1-1-2. Oh, okay. Yep. I know that side. Yep.
Level one.
Cool.
Should be quite a clear view of the ring, to be fair.
Yeah, it's looking like that'll be a fairly clear view of the ring. A fairly good spot. You get. You're obviously potentially going to be on hard cam as well. We did say that we're going to talk about hard cam.
Next up, J-Fave. Yeah, especially if talk about hard cam.
Especially if the hard cam is set up so that the ramp's on the left, which, I mean, to be honest, I prefer that. Hard cam with the ramp on the left. That kind of feels like
I don't know.
Default.
It makes more sense for the hard cam to be where 1-2-2 is, because that's directly the opposite side of the ramp. So yeah, it makes more sense for it to be there.
Kind of looking straight at the ramp. I New Japan Pro Wrestling like doing that quite a lot. And AEW have done it a few times, but I always feel that when they do that with a bigger stadium show, it kind of loses some of the magic, because obviously you're seeing these wrestlers, but you're not actually seeing the crowd reactions. You're seeing a ramp effectively behind them, and it feels very sterile.
Well, there's going to be loads of people outside the ramp. It'd be all right. It'd be fine.
We'll have to see how it goes, really. Yeah. I'm really interested to see how. I mean, that's even if it is a pay-per-view, because, I mean, that's the other thing. They're calling it a pay-per-view, but they actually, it was announced last week that All Out would follow it the following week.
Yeah, I mean, this will be recorded. It will be on TV. Fight, right? It will definitely be. They can't not, because they're going to get more, generate more money from that, and then a week later they're going to generate more money. So why would they not put it on Fight?
Yeah, it would seem very backwards to me if they didn't. I mean, Wembley Stadium is already set up to have cameras in it. It already has cameras physically coming with the venue when sporting events book a venue, and that's part of the package and part of the deal. So it would seem a little bit silly for them not to, to be honest. But as I say, that's an actual rumor. But I mean, the show's August 27th. It's a bank holiday weekend in the UK. That means everybody's off the following day. There's probably going to be rail strikes, so that's something to look forward to. I am absolutely excited. I
can confirm that at this point there are no plans for rail strikes.
Oh, excellent. Is that from inside sources?
It is, yes.
Oh, excellent. I'm very pleased to hear that. So you heard it here first, guys, on JFABE. There are no plans for rail strikes on that weekend. So, excellent. Are you anything else that we can say about All In at this stage that hasn't already been said by numerous other people?
No, it's just going to be one hell of a good time. Didn't you have like a whole day planned out already?
Yeah, I have planned everything. I know exactly which train I'm catching. I know which hotel I'm staying at. That's already booked. I know how to get to. I've looked at all the tube mapping. On the Monday afterwards, I pretty much know where I'm going to eat. I'm going to go to the Lego store with my friend who I'm going with. Yeah, I think. Yeah, then we're going to somewhere else as well, which actually I'm just realising I can't mention on air, because it's a bit of a well, actually we're going to a sex shop, if I'm honest. Fuck it, I said it. It's gonna be great, mate. Jay? Oh, that broke him. That broke Jay. Wow. Well. Yeah, so Jay, you had some technical difficulties there. Some little space rays from Epsilon 2 or whatever.
Something like that.
Fucked up your laptop. Yeah. So that was that. I can't remember where we were. I think we were just talking about what we had planned for All In, actually.
Yeah, something about going to a sex shop.
Yeah, I'm going to a sex shop on the Monday. Got to get measured up for a big old rubber suit. But nah, not really. Just going to have a look around. and then we're going to the Lego shop, maybe have a Burger King. Who knows? Leicester Square, mate. Leicester Square. You got any plans for London?
I mean, I haven't got that far yet. Just going to go.
You're just going to go
on a train.
Go on a train and hang out in pubs.
Yeah, pretty much. And
did
then
did you get a hotel booked at least?
Not yet, no.
I would strongly recommend you act sooner rather than later, because I was looking. First off, you go on booking.com, pretty much every hotel within a 3-mile radius of Wembley Stadium on that night is £900 a room. if you go about 6 miles out, you're pretty safe.
Just gonna sleep on the street, mate. Just gonna sleep outside Wembley Stadium.
I did that once. My family call it the Shoreditch incident. Yeah, I'll tell that story one time on the podcast, but probably when I'm ready, actually.
Yeah.
It was a pretty horrendous night. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I think we've covered
onto happier things.
I think we've covered All In, obviously. So other people in the news this week, there was of course Backlash, which I think you're gonna spoil for me later by telling me what happened, because I am
you're just gonna read all that and you're gonna spoil it for yourself.
Potentially, but then yeah. At least I don't have to watch another WWE pay-per-view.
It's actually really good.
God damn it. Well, it's my own fault.
We're
not
still on AEW. We are still on AEW.
Yeah. AEW.
So,
yep.
This is just another rumor coming out with CM Punk, and apparently Punk's not getting his own show.
Thank God.
It will be a brand split though. But maybe, possibly. I mean, they've got a big roster, so they could just add more people to the shows, and then put all their bigger stars on different shows, so people watch it. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I mean,
and then bring in the undercard and fill that with everyone that's on Dark and Elevation, and just do it that way, because then people are getting more airtime, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently the new, another rumour is going to be they're going to have a winged eagle belt.
A winged eagle belt? Oh, okay, collision, like the old school. Like the
kind
old school
of,
WWE
bigger,
92.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Okay. Looks pretty similar. Could be a thing. I've seen it floating around online quite a bit recently.
Oh wow, so. That's kind of exciting. I mean, obviously, obviously I'm kind of worried about AEW having too many titles. I mean, I think we've all been worried about that for a little while. They've introduced quite a few belts since they started, but it is kind of now getting to the point where there is quite a bit of saturation, as particularly when the ROH titles are also kind of floating around on AEW television.
Not so much of a problem anymore. So,
yeah, it's kind of since Revolution, they've kind of dialed back on that TV presence of ROH. I assume
they've got their own weekly show now. They've got their own pay-per-views.
Yeah, as they're kind of establishing that flow. Yeah. So have you watched any of the weekly ROH show?
No, I haven't. But I really, really need to because of some of the wrestlers that are on there. To be fair. What?
Sorry, say again.
I need to, but I haven't really gotten around to it with all the other wrestling that I watch. But I need to add it somewhere at some point.
I mean, you do watch a lot of wrestling. What have you been watching recently?
Well, I mean, recently I've been busy, so not a lot. birthday things and whatever.
Of course. I completely forgot. Happy birthday to, of course, J-Fabe mainstay Jacob Fabian, who was born. I mean, you, obviously, Jay.
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Happy birthday, mate. It must be good to be.
75,
old man Jay.
Dead good. So. I like it.
cool. Did you do anything for your birthday? I mean, I know you went out drinking on the Saturday. Unfortunately, it was also the day that King Charles was coronated, and I spent it being shouted at by my nephew and niece. So that was fun. But I hear you went day drinking.
I did. Started off in Snenton in Nottingham. Did a few bars there. Went to the Basford and Basford Lion Inn. Watched the band. Got thoroughly drunk. Yeah, it was pretty good actually.
Excellent. Good times. I do kind of wish I had been there, but I have found that recently I am not very good at drinking. I don't know why. It's just something that has kind of become difficult for me. So I'm just pouring my soul out on this show.
If you drink through that, then it turns out it's all right. Because I was having a similar situation.
I think I'm finding that just, you know, with my age, like I'm fucking, you know, old now. I'm just kind of feeling that it's got to be set and setting with this kind of thing. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. You just have to be in the mood for it when you get into your late
70s,
400s. So yeah.
Okay. Just some Easter eggs dropping here. Okay. So there's more rumors, more news coming for AEW. Apparently, they will be signing a $1 billion agreement with Warner Discovery for the streaming services of AEW, banging it on there, pay-per-views, TV shows, everything. No announcement been made just yet, but
I mean, I think that could be interesting. I mean, the offering on Fight is great, especially for the price. It's $4.99. I do really, really feel it's probably the best $4.99 you can spend in the wrestling industry, as far as streaming services go. I'm hoping that they don't lose the deal with Fight as a result of this. But then, on the other hand, if maybe they were to put as much effort into their curation as WWE Network does, you know, with having selected matches, special reality TV based content or special promotional content around the matches, great shows like WrestleMania Rewind or the documentaries that you know, WWE do, you know, if they're able to kind of emulate that but for AEW, then I'd be all for paying a bit more, you know, to sign up onto a different network like Warner Brothers. in order to see it. So it's kind of, it depends what it's there to do. If it's just there to basically add an extra $3 onto what you already get on Fight and then get rid of Fight, then that I won't be happy with. But if it is more kind of a case of, you know, they're adding, say, $5 onto it, but you're getting new AEW content mixed with old AEW content and a kind of more curated feel to it, like those early days, particularly pre-Peacock days of WWE Network, where if you paid for WWE Network, you knew that you would be watching all sorts of wrestling content for the next 2 or 3 weeks because there was some great kind of original shows on there and that kind of thing. If they go that route, then I think it's a good idea. That's the question, really, isn't it?
It is, though, but it's like, do they have a big enough back catalogue to go ahead and pull that off at the moment? I reckon at the moment it will just be weekly show, pay-per-view, added a few shows, maybe put Being the Elite on there from the start until present. And then maybe putting like Sammy Guevara's vlog on there or something, because that's the thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's got a vlog. There's a championship for it now as well.
a championship for the vlog?
Yep.
Well, I did say they had too. I was saying that they had too many belts.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of them. to get rid of that. It's okay because Time L is got it now. So, you know, it's all good.
What are your thoughts going into Double or Nothing? I mean, that's actually at the end of the month. With all of the news for All In.
Yeah.
With all of the news for All In, and, you know, that obviously making, like, AEW ticket sales is pretty much the conversation at the moment because they're having real problems domestically selling tickets. I mean, All In, for instance, has still got 3,000 tickets. Double or Nothing has 3,000 tickets still available in a 10,000-seater arena.
Yeah.
You know, so there are domestic box office problems with AEW. With that in mind, what are you kind of thinking towards the build of Double or Nothing? I mean, only one match announced, and it's a four-way between the four pillars. Obviously, that's a big thing for AEW. Is it too early? Is it not? Who knows? But
it's either going to be okay or brilliant. At the moment, it's looking like it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just the way they built it in general, just to get there to the four-way, was a bit janky in my opinion. Like, let's do a tournament. Yeah. Oh, no, let's do this tag match. Oh, we're just going to put all four of you in the main event, but we're going to do that anyway. So the booking of it to get there was just terrible.
Yeah, it was really around the houses.
Yeah, along with the promos, what was the point? Just book it as it is, do some matches, build it that way, get some heat and tension between them, all four of them that way. And
they could have even survived with a who's it going to be style thing, just kind of having kind of matches, you know, maybe tag matches, Darby Allin and Sting versus Sammy Guevara and Jericho, you know, those kind of matches, who's it going to be, this guy had a good showing this week, this guy had a good showing this week, MJF saying it's going to be nobody, Tony Khan interrupting him and saying, nah, actually it's going to be all four of you are going to do it. You know, even that as a standard storyline probably would have been better than what we've got with this build. I've not enjoyed the four pillars mic work at all, barring of course MJF, who has been a shining light. The work that he did with Sammy Guevara was good. He actually made him watchable from my perspective.
Relevant
on the mic. Yeah, relevant. People were overjoyed to see MJF with Sammy Guevara. But they hated seeing Sammy Guevara, and it's difficult with Sammy Guevara as well because you can't tell whether it's go home heat or not. Which is the other problem. Like, is it legitimate heat, or are we talking X-Pac level, we don't want to see you anymore kind of heat?
It's not quite Dom heat, is it?
No, but I think the Dom heat is absolutely skillfully put together. I think he's surprised me with how well he's done on this heel run.
Just to throw in another young person who's getting some kind of heat. But with Sammy, I don't know, I think it might be go-home heat.
But yeah, I kind of have the feeling that it is.
So, I was never really into Sammy Guevara. When he first doing his flippy things, and that's what he did one match, and you were like, oh, he's great. I'm like, oh, no. He just came in to watch over the rope a couple of times. And that's what he did. But he is better now. He's much better. Like, character-wise, he's better. Obviously, working with Chris Jericho and things like that has obviously helped him. But...
yeah, I think that he kind of... they missed the opportunity with him on his first face turn, to be honest. Like, having him... allowing him the level of creative control that he had to kind of hang out with Ty Mello and try and make that work, obviously, it immediately turned him heel. He didn't think that was what was going to happen. And AEW have had problems with that in the past, obviously. Cody is a good example of them trying their best to make someone face and it just not working, or it turning into that kind of heat. And this was a great example of that. They put in a 3-year storyline about the Inner Circle, where Sammy Guevara was supposed to become the white hot babyface coming out. He became that white hot babyface, and then 2 weeks later, he did the one thing that nobody wanted him to do, which was to start tonguing Ty Mello on TV. And then was surprised, or seemed surprised, and the whole of AEW had to scramble and, you know, rebook him, effectively, at the fans' reaction. They should have known better.
That comes off him, like, you know, asking someone else to marry him in a ring. And then all of a sudden he's with somebody else. But obviously no one knows the full picture of it. But apparently whoever it was he was with before is absolutely fine with them too. So it's just like... I think that's where the heat came from.
Yeah, and they really should have... they should have known better, as I say. They really should have known better. But, you know, you live and learn, don't you? Or, in AEW's case, they live.
Wow. So what other matches do we think is going to be? Blood and Guts, that's happening.
If Blood and Guts is happening, then it's obviously going to, or potentially going to be BCC versus the Elite with Hangman Page, I think.
Is it going to be with Hangman?
Who else could it be? It can't be Takeshita. Or maybe it's Hangman and Takeshita.
Hangman and Takeshita, and then we've got Kota Ibushi as BC. Wait, BCC. I reckon it's going to happen. Well,
To be fair, I am genuinely hoping that does happen, because the one thing I would like to see All In more than a rematch of Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, is, of course, Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, ending the story. Or continuing the story, yeah.
Will their story ever end? That's the thing.
When your love is as deep as those two, I don't think it ever does.
Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there? And that's watch fucking wrestling.
And tune into JFabe.
Yes. Do that too.
So we got that match. Obviously, there's the Adam Cole Chris Jericho feud. That's
gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. I think the only question is whether it's gonna be a ridiculous gimmick match, whether it's gonna be a straight one-on-one. You know, whether it's gonna be Adam Cole and a posse versus Chris Jericho and a posse. I reckon it's probably gonna be a straight one-on-one. Personally, potentially with some kind of soft stipulation, not an Iron Man kind of stipulation, but maybe a falls count anywhere or a submission match or something like that.
Something with a stipulation.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a. I don't think it's going to be a, you know, barbed wire death match or anything like that. I think it's going to be something that's going to focus on the wrestling, if there is a stipulation at all. Yeah, other than that, it's kind of hard to pick out what else is going on the roster. Really, I mean, there's the Wardlow Luchasaurus slash Christian thing, which.
Oh yeah, so yeah, we'll get that with Arn Anderson whispering to himself.
Yeah, getting out is good. I am kind of over Wardlow. I'm actually watching this for Christian at this stage.
Yeah, I'm done with Wardlow as well. I think I mentioned a couple podcasts ago. I think it was Joe versus Wardlow. Good match. Just can't be asked anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It just feels like after the MJF thing, you know, the bait and switch over to Joe as the main feud, and just Wardlow and MJF never really having that blow off, the proper blow off that they needed. It almost feels like, and I hate to say this because I'm a big MJF mark, it almost feels like MJF screwed Wardlow out of a storyline that was,
yeah,
you know, necessary. For Wardlow's career, so it's almost like that's what stalled Wardlow's. The only way that I could see them saving it actually, is if they make the stipulation. If they made the stipulation that Wardlow has to join Christian, if he loses. I know they've already done that recently with Matt Hardy. And Ethan Page, but if they did that and then just did the whole thing again, I think that would probably work, probably because Christian would be worse than MJF as your boss, and they could probably kind of reignite that a bit, but it would kind of feel like pretty much just doing the greatest hits. So
it would be just doing the greatest hits, and it would just be to have that end of the story but with the wrong person, and people would pick up on that, and no. Sorry, mate, but that would be a terrible idea.
I kind of agree with you. It's just I can't think of anything else that you can try with him. Send him to ROH as an invader, maybe? And get him off AEW TV for 6 months. Maybe
go back after Joe.
Yeah, or just as a invader, get a few other people from Dark and Elevation to kind of join him in a little invasion stable, you know, kind of go a bit more hardcore with it for 3 or 4 months, have him run roughshod over it, almost get to the championship, maybe have a lose at least town match where he loses effectively, goes back to AEW hard and tempered. But that's the problem with Wardlow. He's just too soft. He feels too soft now.
I just don't think there's anything you can do with him now. That's the problem. Just like he is dying out, and that is an issue for him. I mean, yeah, people are still chatting Wardlow, and that's great, but
I mean, it's not. Go on, sorry.
People still like his powerbomb. It's just like. Just yeah, getting tiresome. It's the same thing over and over again.
He's never going to be as white hot as he was, you know, when MJF had him in handcuffs every week.
The only thing we can do now is do a shock turn, him actually turning heel. And possibly,
I mean, that could work.
Possibly him turning heel and rejoining MJF. But of his own free will.
Potentially, or if there was another...
And then you can then bring that round again where he then ends up hating MJF for some reason and then doing the end of the story.
Well, actually, that could potentially work, particularly if MJF, as heels often do after a really good heel run, you know, because MJF's in that process now of flipping into being a babyface, even without, I mean, he's doing everything he can, and he's doing a damn fine job of it, but this time in a year, You know, is MJF going to be a heel or a babyface? I mean, he may still continue to act like a heel, but much like Chris Jericho has the 3-year plan of create a heel stable and turn them all babyface over the course of 3 years, which is, you know, pretty much the formula that he's been using. He used it with the Inner Circle. It's obviously what's happening with the Jericho Appreciation Society. I have the feeling that that's what's happening with MJF very slowly. This is becoming a bit of a great title run, and I don't see anybody else who's as likable as MJF in the title picture at the moment, so I just can't see how it can't end with MJF eventually losing the title and then spending the rest of his time in AEW as a face, which, having Wardlow join him as a heel and, you know, obviously going super mean, it could eventually be MJF being the white hot babyface going out of that feud, at least for me. I don't know.
That'd be an interesting take on it, to be fair. It would.
Yeah, but I think that would redeem it.
Be an interesting take, but it shouldn't have how it ended, but it would be an interesting take.
We've talked for a long time about AEW, and I have a feeling that we could probably talk for 2 more hours about AEW, because there is a lot of interesting stuff going on, but there's also a lot of... there's a lot of kind of question marks hanging over AEW. This started as off as a conversation about CM Punk. I still don't know what you can do with CM Punk at this stage. I feel that the moment has passed. I don't feel that CM Punk has much to offer the wrestling business at this stage, other than controversy. I mean, obviously he's a draw, but is the actual product any better because he's there?
Not really.
No.
No, I mean, he said that the only reason he got put into the title picture is because Tony Khan went in there, but I don't believe that for 1 second.
I don't believe that for 1 second either.
Seeing as he's always been whispering in Tony Khan's ear, making him do shit, so...
Yeah.
Pulling the strings, basically. So, that's what I've heard anyway. It's what I've read. Kind of believe it, considering what happened.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is the two biggest wrestling companies in North America, AEW and WWE, have both tried to set up a Summer of Punk, and in both cases, it's looking like the failure of the Summer of Punk could potentially be because of his attitude. I mean, considering Triple H is usually on the fucking money, and they are saying it's Triple H who buried CM Punk in WWE, it's almost like he's vindicated at this stage, and he can stand there and say, "You see, I told you so." Oh, that was a really bad Triple H. I should stop smoking.
Maybe.
You see, no, it's gone. The moment's gone. Moving on.
Alaska.
That's it. You should be Triple H.
CM Punk.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's canon now. Yeah. tournaments and WWE side, because obviously we can't just talk about AEW all night. So moving on to WWE side, I'm gonna just ramp up the music just for a second, just so it feels like we're moving into a different section.
Same song,
which is gonna be a bastard for me in the edit. But WWE. So there's been backlash. There's now a tournament announced. Would it be better to start chronologically with backlash, or would it be better to start talking about that tournament first?
The tournament came after backlash, so. I mean, it was announced before Backlash, but, you know, the tournament started on Raw, which was the night after Backlash.
So, which is the biggest story? Should we leave with the tournament? Let's go with the tournament. WWE tournament. Because I actually haven't looked at the full competitor list, actually.
Okay. So, the 12 men that's in there is Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sheamus, The Miz, Damian Priest, Edge, Rey Mysterio, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, Austin Theory, and Cody Rhodes.
Ooh. Okay. I mean, that's an interesting mix. It's quite obvious that Cody Rhodes is the one for that one. Although, is he?
Is he? So there was two triple threat matches on Raw. The two winners of that went faced each other. That's done. The winner of that has already happened. That was on Raw.
Hmm.
I have to say, it wasn't Cody.
Was it not Cody?
It was not Cody.
Okay, so what's going down? Let me in, man.
So it was Seth Rollins. No, it wasn't. See, I can't remember who had the triple threat matches. So it was Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura, and The Miz. And it was AJ Styles,
Cody Rhodes,
Finn Balor, and Damian Priest.
AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Damian Priest. I thought AJ Styles was a SmackDown competitor, or are they just mixing it up for this?
I mean, Cody Rhodes, Finn Balor. Wait, I completely messed this up.
Excellent. I'm just going to put in WWE Raw results. And go
yeah, me
there.
Too. Me too.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
I know who won.
So, first on the list there is Bleacher Report.
Crazy.
So Cody Rhodes. So Cody Rhodes had a promo, then there was a World Heavyweight Tourney match between Seth Rick and Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura and Damian Priest. Rollins defeated Nakamura and Priest. Top moments included Rhodes wasting little time recalling the time he spent in Jacksonville throughout the pandemic, which obviously was quite an interesting call.
He got cheered a lot, so, you know.
Yeah.
We can just go for the finish. Seth Rollins did a 5-star frog splash. He did the misdirection as well in the mid-air. Turned it around like Rob Van Dam.
Nice.
Bashed it onto Shinsuke Nakamura when it was in a knee bar. Did a stomp.
Well, how frustrating is it that Shinsuke Nakamura is the guy to take the pin there?
Yes.
I mean, the guy's a consummate professional, obviously. Really enjoys surfing. But obviously, for those of us who were fans of his NJPW work and, you know, really excited for him to come in, it's kind of sad to see where he's ended up, you know, because 2 years ago, the choice between Shinsuke Nakamura or Damian Priest taking that fall, it would have been Damian Priest. But
I get what you're saying, but I think what you need to do is just give Shinsuke a little bit of time on Raw, and I think we'll see exactly where he's heading.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've been patient enough already with Shinsuke Nakamura, so why not be a bit more patient? I mean, it's
but
a
with Triple H
business.
Head of control, I think he's going to have a better chance, better run.
I thought Vince McMahon was in control. That's why I bought tickets to All In.
Me too, mate. Me too.
The only reason.
The only reason.
I mean, hopefully Triple H will make something of Shinsuke Nakamura in the future, but the story here, definitely, that Seth frickin' Rollins defeated Nakamura and Priest, so
we move on to the next one.
Oh, okay, that's what we're doing. And after that, there was Cody Rhodes, Finn Balor and The Miz. Sounds like an interesting mix-up, kind of an interesting combination.
They work really well together, all three of them. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I mean, Miz is fucking brilliant at most of what he does in the ring, to be honest. I mean, that's why he's been doing what he's been doing for so long. Interesting thing someone pointed out the other day, a nice little nuance to The Miz. He never high-fives kids in the crowd.
That's because he's a heel.
Yeah, he high-fives the parents, but he won't high-five the kids.
Okay.
and he's been doing that his entire career, just so that all the kids hate him.
Right.
Just those little touches which make The Miz what he is, I suppose. Cody Rhodes and Finn Balor, obviously people have been kind of clamouring for that match for years. You know, it's a BC original versus... you know, somebody who kind of launched Bullet Club into a
somebody
new kind
wanted
of international
the leadership
domain.
At one Sorry? Point, someone who wanted the leadership of the Bullet Club.
Well, yeah, exactly, and that was a big thing at the time. It was an absolutely immense feud where Cody Rhodes was trying to get the leadership of the Bullet Club in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I think people have kind of been clamoring for that. I don't think adding the Miz to that is a bad thing, because this is obviously just a television fight, but I would like one day to see a proper one-on-one between Finn Balor and Cody Rhodes. That would be great. Balor defeated Rhodes in the Miz, though.
Yeah, this came after Cody Rhodes hit 3 crossroads on the Miz, and Brock Lesnar pulled him out, F5'd him through a table. Balor hits coup de grace. Done.
Yeah, this was obviously on the back of the much talked about match between Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes at Backlash, of course. I mean, I've seen the pictures. I've seen the pictures. That's some hard way bleeding.
It really was.
I mean, well, anything more to say about this tournament before we move on to Backlash? Like, what are your expectations? Who do you reckon is going to win it?
I reckon Edge is going to win it. I reckon this is going to be Edge's last hurrah. I mean, he never lost the big gold belt. Get big gold belt back.
Yeah.
Kind
of, it's my destiny.
Run. Yeah, yeah.
6 months till Survivor Series. Or,
yeah, Edge versus Seth Rollins, Edge wins.
Yeah. I mean, that could be good. I think Edge would be the perfect person to have that belt on.
It would be. But then I don't know if that's move over to Raw then. Back to Raw, because you can't have all the championships on SmackDown.
Yeah, of course. On a side note, though, because I'm looking at WWE.com and I'm actually I'm looking at this big gold belt. What are your thoughts on it? You know, with that big kind of cartoonish WWE logo right in the middle, it kind of feels like to me that the belt's lost some of its grandeur as a result of that.
I mean, it just looks like the one's been melted and then they branded it.
Kind of, yeah, and I can see what they're going for with the design, but
I don't mind it. I think it's all right. I don't dislike it.
I might warm to it, if I'm honest. I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about it. Just, you know, on that first impression when you're
it's kind of the same shape as the old one as well. So yeah, it's like a.
It's like the first melted, time I tried.
Yeah.
It's like the first time I tried. Bird's Eyes breaded lemon chicken. I'm still not sold on that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing.
Exactly the same. oh, dear me. So it's quite obvious that Cody's going to take the long way round to get his rematch, his new title
shot,
all of that.
He's even said that if he gets the World Heavyweight Championship, it wouldn't be finishing the story. He needs the WWE Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. That would make sense, actually, to be honest. I kind of get it.
Some money in the bank.
You know, obviously.
Cody Rhodes.
To win money in the bank.
Cody Rhodes cashes in. Done.
That could be quite good, although I think I can't see them actually having in cash in like that. I mean, it wouldn't cash in on the night, obviously, because there's tickets to sell to other shows. But definitely, I'm going to cash in on SummerSlam at the main event. That'd be perfect.
I mean, they could do it like that. It would probably be like, oh, I'm not the kind of man to just cash it in when they're down, blah, 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 blah. I've got integrity. This is my dad. Cry. Something.
Yeah, there is that. It's interesting to see where they could go. Do you feel that Cody has lost any momentum as a result of this?
Absolutely not. No, he's still on fire. He defeated Brock Lesnar. He's not going to have another match with Brock Lesnar after his beatdown Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. I think he'll probably end up losing this one, but then they'll have a third match and they'll win that as a rubber.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's lost any momentum at all.
Fair enough. I kind of think people were quite disappointed at his loss at WrestleMania, and he may have lost a bit of momentum coming out of WrestleMania, but obviously that match at Backlash is all anyone can talk about at the moment on social media. In regards to WWE, they're still talking about what a mess was made of Brock Lesnar's face. Brock Lesnar obviously using colour in the match, and well, did he use colour? Was it hard way? I mean, it was obviously a callback to that famous SummerSlam match between him and John Cena, right?
Okay, so either he bladed before he hit the turnbuckle, or he actually did hit the turnbuckle. He did get a black eye. But when he hit, it didn't look like his eye hit. Didn't really look like his head. I watched it a few times. But his head sort of hit. Kind of looked like it, but kind of didn't look like it. So if he could have bladed beforehand. And then.
Interesting.
Did a Triple H basically bladed before he hit.
Yeah.
That could be it.
I mean, potentially that was kind of the, especially at the time when he kind of entered wrestling, the kind of tail end of the Attitude Era, the start of the Ruthless Aggression Era, that was kind of the fashion at the time, was to blade before you were hit.
You know, but obviously, particularly Triple H higher was like the one that was really good at that, but then you'd noticed it when he put his hand over his head, when he was going like, being slingshot into the post, you could just see him just like do it. But anyway,
yeah, quite interesting. Obviously, Backlash recently happened. We decided not to do a post show, but we did decide to kind of go through it on this show at least.
Yeah,
I don't know. We're kind of just choosing to podcast pretty much when's convenient for us now, aren't we?
Pretty much.
At the moment.
Yeah.
It's not WrestleMania season. We don't have to do like the night after post shows. We're still both working out where we stand, because we've never really sustained a podcast going through the summer, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, it's kind of new territory for us. We've always kind of done a build up from Survivor Series up to WrestleMania. You know.
Normally, but. Yeah, formats change, lives change. Yeah. You know, just do it when we can.
Exactly. It was on May 6th. It was San Juan, Puerto Rico, at the Coliseo de Puerto Rico, Jose Miguel Agrelot, which I don't know what that actually means, but the attendance was 17,944. The actual stadium itself can hold at capacity 18,500, but to be honest, they've got to make room for the stage.
They didn't have a stage.
Did it not?
No. No stage at all. They tried to get as many people as there as they could.
Oh. I really should have watched this, because this sounds like it was a bit of a...
They had like...
a bit of an odd...
LED screens where they came out, but there was literally no stage at all.
No,
it was just
no
Nile.
Actual stage.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So like a live event with no stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it is what it is, isn't it? You got to kind of work with what you work with. But I mean, the attendance was big. You know, for a WWE post. Post WrestleMania Backlash kind of thing.
Madison Square Garden before they started using the stage. I think that kind of thing, but
right,
a little bit smaller. It's just like an entrance way for like any sports kind of like stars would probably come through.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, I kind of hope that they don't do that at All In. If I'm honest. But I can't imagine they would be that stupid. They definitely need a stage there. But yeah, it's WWE have been confident enough to do that in the past, and they've famously done it for the past 3 years at Royal Rumble, which is a bit strange. If I'm honest, it is.
Yes, I think that's kind of like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, there were 7 matches in total. Interestingly enough, The third longest of the night was the opener, which was the singles match for the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair, Io Sky.
Okay, it was a good match. It was produced by TJ Wilson.
Okay. You know, usually when you like introduce a new name to our fans, you should probably tell us who that is.
Oh, that's that's the wrestler. What's his
name?
Oh,
Tyson Kidd.
Tyson Kidd, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Tyson Kidd. Fair enough. And were you a fan?
Tyson Kidd.
Bianca Belair's.
The match.
Well, of the match, but I mean, Tyson Kidd, first off, are you a fan of Tyson Kidd?
Yeah, he was great. Didn't really get his doo-doo-doo. Tag team run.
Considering where he came from as well, trained by Bret Hart, David Boy Smith, Deep South Wrestling and Tokyo Joe, I mean, they're all kind of, you know, married to Natalia anyway. So that's probably nepotism there, WWE. Same as it ever was. anyway.
Everyone loves a bit of nepotism, right?
Well, exactly. So for you, it was a fairly good match. I mean, Bianca Belair. I would imagine it would be. Bianca Belair is always great.
Yeah, it was fire. Yeah, absolutely great. I don't really remember much of it. It was a few days ago. Been asleep since then, you know.
Well, but it was 18 minutes long, and apparently it was a fairly good one. Seth freaking Rollins versus Omos with MVP. Singles match, 10 minutes 30 was following it.
Rollins made Omos look really good. Ended with a stomp off the top rope.
Nice.
But, yeah, it was okay for what it was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's the best match on the card.
It was never going to be, was it, really? I mean, it's basically there to continue to build this kind of myth of Omos being a decent wrestler and not just a big guy that they're putting in the ring. And Seth's the kind of guy to kind of do that, you know, make him a mountain for Seth to climb. Because that's the thing with a guy like Omos. If he faces too many losers, if he faces too many losses and just kind of, you know, needs to cool off for a while. Well, yeah.
When does he win?
Very rarely. But
he's
again,
a glorified jobber. No.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. If he gets to the point where people are just expecting him to lose, just take him off TV, call him for 6 months, get him to grow a mohawk or whatever, bring him back refreshed, and you just do the whole round again. I mean,
the rap gimmick, yeah. What?
yeah, that could work. just give him a Nigerian accent, mate.
It's already got one, mate. It's from Nigeria.
Oh, well, then take that off him.
Right.
Make him speak like a Texan.
And put him with JBL. There we go, sorted.
Yeah. Job done. Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed, a triple threat match, WWE United States Championship. Anything memorable from this? Obviously, Austin Theory won.
He did. They actually worked really well together. I wouldn't say memorable things that happened. Yeah. It was great if I was actually reading the same thing you was. But I remember enjoying it. That's pretty good.
Enough.
I was super hungover when I watched it, so
yeah, that's understandable. Rhea Ripley, Zelina Vega.
But that was produced by Chris Park.
That was produced by Chris Park.
Yeah, Abyss. You know,
right? Okay, yeah. Abyss. Yeah. I mean, he's been doing WWE matches for about 5 years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been there a while.
I mean, I think the only shame about him is that we've never got to see him on WWE TV as anything.
Well, there was that rumbling that they got for the contract to come in and face The Undertaker, but he didn't take it and stay with TNA.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough then.
Didn't want to face The Undertaker, I guess.
I mean, I can understand why. He's got a bit of a legacy on the indies, hasn't he?
They were building TNA at the time, and TNA was doing really well. So there was a viable contender, but that all went to shit when Hulk Hogan came in. So
Yeah, that was one of those just classic TNA kind of.
But they're going to take everything that makes TNA TNA and fuck it up. Just for you. Yeah.
Turn it into WCW circa 2000. Rhea Ripley, Zelina Vega, singles match, women's championship, 7 minutes 10 seconds. Any thoughts on this? I mean, I'm not quite sure why Zelina Vega's there in this, but other than the fact that someone's got to face Rhea Ripley at this stage.
Well, I mean, you know, Puerto Rican, and I think that's one of the reasons why she was in the match. Like I said before, she can go.
She can go, but yeah.
It isn't what it used to be or what they let her do, but it told the story it needed to, and she nearly won. She nearly got the win. And then Rhea Ripley was like, yeah, go fuck yourself, picked her up by her head and just like dropped her and pinned her. With Riptide.
Fair enough. Just kind of a standard kind of 7 minute kind of TV match just thrown in the middle of the pay-per-view basically, yeah?
The crowd was hot all the way through. You know, that really was helping with the match as well. But you just knew she wasn't going to win. We knew that Zelina Vega wasn't going to win. She came down with, like, this flag thing. Jacket was a flag.
Oh, okay. Was she it cried. A Puerto Rican flag? Or
It was.
You see, that's the confusing thing about it, because she was born in Queens, New York. And she's been kind of billed from Puerto Vallarta in the past, but she's actually kind of just... I'm almost kind of... I don't want to be that guy who accuses, but it does kind of feel like they've just thrown a Puerto Rican flag on a Mexican-looking person.
So her parents from Puerto Rico. So...
Oh, okay, that's fair. That is fair.
We'll leave that one, and
okay. So, her parents are from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Okay. That's the allegedly link that I was missing because I don't watch TV. So fair enough. If that's the case, then you know I can kind of understand it. But it all gets a bit confusing about nationality and stuff in wrestling, anyway, doesn't it? Moving swiftly on.
Who
Bad Bunny.
That, you asked.
Oh, who did produce that, Jay?
Sean Daivari.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sean Daivari. I believe one of the older of the Daivaris, right?
That would be correct. Yeah. He was on the Cruiserweight division. He was with WWE for quite a while. Came back, got fired, came back. Went to Impact for a bit as a producer. Then they brought him back into WWE. He was part of the massive firings. But they brought him back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The bus flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. The longest match of the night followed this, which was the San Juan street fight between Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. The first question I've got to ask is, was a San Juan street fight really worth 25 minutes of pay-per-view time?
Yeah, it was actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean... fair enough if it was. I mean,
Damien Priest made Bad Bunny look like $1 million, pounds, really? Sterling, whatever you want. Bad Bunny,
any currency.
Bad Bunny, for some reason, is really good at selling. And he's really good at being where he needs to be and performing moves. I mean, he came straight out of the gate and dropped a Michinoku driver, and I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
Well, not right out of the gate, but there was a bit of build-up to it. But a Michinoku driver, he was like, just smashed it.
Well, I mean, fair enough. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting how WWE have kind of... They've always kind of moved away from having celebrities do serious in matches until kind of... But once they got the Performance Center going and that whole structure there... you know, in NXT and those kind of things, the celebrities who have been coming in, like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul.
Begrudgingly say that he's good, but yeah.
All of them have been kind of performing. Pat McAfee, another great example.
Yeah, at a higher level.
Yeah,
I would say Bad Bunny.
As good as they are.
Pat McAfee, I'd say, is round number three in that. But Bad Bunny, he's sitting up at the top of celebrities at the moment, in my opinion. Just for his timing, his pacing.
Yeah.
Just everything.
Things that wrestlers
don't know, like early on in their career, and he's had like what, 3 matches now, and one being a Royal Rumble, and one being a tag.
Yeah, I mean, it helps having a person, a 9-year, a 9-year vet, as it were, like Damian Priest, kind of, pushing you through that.
Yeah, of course.
Especially someone like Damian Priest, who kind of joined later in his life. He started wrestling because he actually started wrestling at the age of 31.
Yeah.
So having someone like that, who's kind of been there, they've obviously made the decision in their life to, really give this all that they've got. He's obviously kind of taken everything on board, and now he's the kind of guy who can carry a 25-minute match only 9 years after he first stepped between the ropes.
Yeah, Damian Priest did a fantastic job, and he'll probably get rewarded accordingly with some kind of title, because this isn't the first time he's obviously been in position with Bad Bunny being his mentor. So he really does deserve to be pushed after this match just for how good it was.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch that, because I am quite interested to see some of these matches, to be honest, now that I'm reading about them, even though I know the results. After that, we got
Jamie Noble, Brian Kendrick produced that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jamie Noble, Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Fair enough. After that, 6-man tag match, 22 minutes long. The Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso, versus Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. Bit of a rebound kind of 6-man, kind of, or trios if you want to call it that.
It was okay.
Kind of
it was fine. It was what it was. It is what it is. It was more to build. Is Solo gonna get rid of the Usos, and Just spite them both. At one point, it looked like he was going to do that to Jay. That's kind of the story that they're building at the moment with the Bloodline. But they came away with the victory anyway. Riddle taking the pin.
Yeah.
But it was what it was. It wasn't anything exciting. It was nothing like WrestleMania.
Yeah, so it was more just kind of a bit of a blowout kind of... Almost mopping up the gravy off the plate from that story, and
that's what it was,
and kind of moving it into the dessert portion where the Bloodline slowly implodes, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn kind of move on.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where it's going. Mm. Yeah, spot on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, had to happen. That's what Backlash is for, right? What else can you say about that? At least we're not calling it Backwash this year, so. who produced this? Sorry.
No, it's definitely called Backlash this year. This was Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan.
Yeah. He tries, bless him.
Oh. Bless.
That's it.
And of course, the main event, Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar, singles match, 9:40, which is pretty good going for a Brock Lesnar match in 2023, obviously. What are your thoughts?
Did the job that it needed to do. It made Brock Lesnar look unstoppable. It made Cody Rhodes look a thousand fucking million dollars, if you want. He used his smarts to win after an F5 kicked out into the Kimura. Obviously, this is after Brock Lesnar bleeding everywhere. And then pushes his weight onto Brock for the pin. So he kind of stole it. It wasn't really a definitive win.
From Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be fair, That's the best way to book it,
because it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. It's Brock Lesnar. Everybody, when they beat Brock Lesnar, beats him by the skin of the teeth.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of how it... I mean, The Undertaker, exactly the same. You know, on the one occasion that he did beat him. It's kind of... There's very few people in this day and age who can say that they've defeated a post-UFC Brock Lesnar, you know, by pinfall in the middle of the ring. Very few people on that list.
One of Killer's points in his promo that he's not a sports entertainer, he's a combat fighter.
Yeah. That was Cody Rhodes saying that he was a combat fighter.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay, just Brock Lesnar. He
wasn't calling himself one.
I mean, had he have said, I'm not a sports entertainer, I'm a Southern wrestler,
I would have jumped on it straight away.
Yeah, that would have been... We would have led with that. Fuck all in. Oh, dear me. And that was Backlash. Highlight, would you say, of Backlash?
I'd go with the street fight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, that's the one to watch, is it?
I would say so. If you haven't seen it, that is the one to watch. Yeah, it's got celebrities in it, but you know Bad Bunny can go, right? Why can he go? Yeah, Why is he so good? I don't get it.
I would just... The thing is, though, if I was in his position and WWE came to me and said, yeah, will you wrestle for us? I would be like, I would want to go as well as I could. You know, I would put in the hours. I would put in the work, you know. So maybe it is just a case of, like, hard work from the guy.
Oh, watch out for Damian Priest's receipt on Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bad Bunny, like, I think he busted his nose. So, yeah, look out for the receipt on that one.
Fair enough. That'll be interesting to watch. I mean, the thing about Bad Bunny, he claims to be a lifelong fan of professional wrestling, and to be honest, I believe him. You know, he made...
Well, there's loads of photos online with him, different wrestlers everywhere, so...
Yeah, he's obviously been touring around and kind of doing, doing this for a while. I think when you're as big as him, you know, because it kind of, you say Bad Bunny in the UK or the US, and people are, unless you're in certain places, obviously, kind of don't know who he is. But you know, he is massive. He's one of those people who don't realize how big they are in the Latin community.
Yeah.
You know,
you should see his entrance. Everyone's singing his song, like everybody.
Mm. And all of the Western fans are like, what? Yeah. No, and I can understand that. And
not necessarily. Sorry, Ricky's back.
Sorry.
Can you hear that?
No, it's not picking it up.
Good.
You got a bit of barking in the background, have you?
It's all good. It's fine.
Okay, fair enough. Are you looking after a dog?
Nope. No, I'm not. Nope.
Okay, that's a bit of a concern. Oh, dear me. But I mean, the thing is Rolling Stone voted one of his albums, X100 Pre, 447th in the 500 greatest albums of all time. So, I mean, he obviously has a bit of penetration internationally, but he's just so popular there, isn't he? So, no, I think it's good. I think that's awesome. You know, I like it when celebrities come into somewhere and somewhere like WWE.
Yeah, it's great when they come in and they can actually, you know, look good.
Yeah, and they're not just kind of pulling a David Arquette and, you know, running away with the belt and ruining a, you know, nearly 100-year legacy.
Well, like you said, you can't take it away from him. He's been the WCW champion. That's just how it is.
Well, yeah.
And then Nick Gage and they killed him, so that's fine.
Right up there with Judy Bagwell on a pole, as in regards to things that you know, kind of buried WCW. So coming out of Backlash, any kind of closing thoughts on where WWE goes from here? Obviously, Night of Champions.
If anything, the quality of pay-per-view that Backlash was, then WWE is going in the right direction.
Well, I mean,
the quality of Raw the next night, a whole hour of it was great. Obviously, there's like 50 minutes worth of adverts I've worked out. 50 minutes of adverts. So the whole thing's like an hour and 10 minutes. 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's crazy.
Well, sorry, 50 minutes of adverts?
Yeah.
This is on Backlash, yeah?
No. This is on Raw.
On Raw. Oh, okay. Fair enough. That reminds me, actually, while we're talking about Backlash, did they do any more of the bullshit advertising that they did at WrestleMania, or was that kind of a one-shot deal with WrestleMania?
That was just WrestleMania because, yeah, they had to advertise things to get the money and the revenue for the advertisements. So, yeah, nothing happened with that.
Hopefully that was a one-time experiment, and next WrestleMania they'll treat the actual
I think that's going to be going forward, I think, for WrestleMania.
Potentially stuff like SummerSlam, like the Big Four, maybe.
But possibly. I mean, CMLL does it all the time. So.
Yeah, and AAA do as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's popular in the... It's popular in that part of the world, at least. But I just think it's really gaudy and tacky.
I don't like it either. It just takes away from the product. It takes away from what's happening. They could be filling it with some promos if they wanted to instead. And then just building the matches. Don't need to advertise everything all the time.
I think the worst...
advertisements for matches as well. Like,
yeah. The worst part for me is when they put all of that effort and all of that money into making an absolutely
Mike's
great
hard
set.
Iced tea.
Yeah, and then they ruined the feel of WrestleMania by like, oh, this whole match is just going to be this solid blue background with Intuit TurboTax written on it. And like, well, that means that for now, for the entire history of the entire future of WrestleMania, that match is always going to have an Intuit TurboTax match on it. I mean, it doesn't feel like legacy stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. They should just stop doing it forever.
I mean, just imagine if they did that with the hour long Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
What could they advertise back then? Like Snickers.
Yeah, Snickers or Blue Chew. No, not Blue Chew. Slim Jim.
Iron Man. The Iron Man Slim Jim. They could have brought out a limited edition Slim Jim called Iron Man. Chew it if you can.
Oh wow! We've actually gone further than we've gone in a long time. Usually we do, or recently we've done like 45 minutes episodes. This episode I'm just calculating now should be almost an hour and a half. So I think we're kind of
getting back to the old flow.
Yeah. It's almost like two universes are coming together and it's all just kind of melding into one, like, lovely. I don't know where that metaphor came from, actually. One thing I would say is we've got the
where the fuck is Taz?
where is Taz?
I don't know.
Night of Champions is coming up. Any thoughts on that?
So I'm saying Seth and Edge. We're gonna have Roman Reigns v. Dunno.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna have things happen. The tag team titles won't be there because they won't let Sami Zayn into the country. So
Well yeah, of course. Obviously, because of his descent, effectively, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. They always build really fast to this. They always do with the Saudi Arabia stuff. Like they literally just saturate TV with it for like 2 weeks. The build, and then that's.
Well, we know there's going to be an IC match. There's going to be a US title match. There's going to be no tag team title match unless Riddle jumps in and be like, oh, I'll defend it for you because you're ill. or something. And then, women's title matches. There's going to be title matches, but just nothing's been announced yet.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's very, it's kind of, it's May 27th, you know, so we've only got kind of 3 weeks, so six shows effectively to get there.
They'll do it.
So I mean, they'll do it, but I don't know, it's kind of as it always is, isn't it?
And it's like the WrestleMania bill is like 10,000 fucking years, but they can do this in 6 weeks, or six shows.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a WrestleMania quality event, no matter how much they
get paid.
How much they say it is every time. It's always like it's always filler. You know, you could get through.
But it's like they're allowed to do what they want now. They don't have to do as the Prince wants anymore. They can kind of go with what the storylines are saying and going forward that way, so they can actually do the pay-per-view and then go from that pay-per-view into actual storylines. So,
I mean, I might actually watch last Night of Champions when it does happen.
The last one was quite good. The last Blood Money was great. I'm not going to lie. It was good.
That was Crown Jewel in November of 2022. Main event, Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul, I believe.
Yep. That's right.
I say looking at a poster for it right now. if it was quite good, it was quite good. At the moment, the promotional poster for it has Roman Reigns and Bianca Belair, which I would love to see Roman Reigns and Bianca Belair in a match together.
We might get Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus at Night of Champions as well.
That could be quite good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to see how it goes, really, won't we?
Well, in other news, Big E was photoed at a gym with the Big Show. Which means he can exercise again, which means he may be clear to wrestle at some point.
Who?
Big E.
Oh, Big E?
Yeah.
I haven't heard much from Big E in a long time.
He was at a gym. With the Big Show. I see what you're doing there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just realising that we're getting to that point where I believe it's the end of the show. I think we got as far as we could go at this stage.
But there's so much more to talk about.
Like what?
I haven't got anything. That was it.
Oh, okay. Cool. You can listen to us here on JFabe at Spotify. On Spotify, search for JFabe. You can listen to us on iTunes. We're gonna tweet out about this episode,
Apple
so
Podcasts,
you know, we might get
a
few listeners.
But if you're already listening, then you already know that. So,
well, yeah, I don't know why I say that every time, but please rate and like us on iTunes or whatever. Obviously, me and Jay both took a break for a period of time because of weird shenanigans, and you know, it's been a while. So, if you knew somebody who recommended this to you and you're still listening, let them know that we're still on air.
Yeah,
you know, we're still going. That'd be good.
Thanks.
And we might get crazy again. Who fucking knows?
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
No one knows
where
Taz
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's just missing in action.
Classic Taz.
Just a crazy guy. Just doing his thing. Yeah. Anything else? I think that's about it, isn't it? We'll be back next week at some point, probably early week, who knows,
maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's when we sort of podcast.
Yeah, we kind of do it early in the week so that we can spend the rest of the week making love, not to each other though. Oh dear. Jay, anything else to say to our thousands upon thousands of fans?
No, I think you said it all, mate.
Yeah, I think you have as well. Have a great time. Obviously, long live the king, and all of that jazz. And we will see you at
sure.
All In.
I think we got different opinions on that. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Enjoy. Yeah. Have a beautiful time.
Bye.
Just fade that out. Just fading that out. Just fading that out. Kind of feels a bit like we're back.
Yeah, that was a good, decent long show, wasn't it?